Welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. I'm your host, Frank. This week, we're going to be discussing the portion of Re'eh from Deuteronomy 11:26 to 16:17. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it up and read it with us. I pray the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and change your life. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com, and connect with us on Instagram at Torah Conversations, and become a monthly supporter at Patreon.com/Torah Conversations. And there you're going to see extended episodes, conversations, and more extra content and resources. So, well, this week, I've been so excited about this week's episode for a long time because my guest, whom I met several years ago at an IHOP U online class about Israel, and we connected, but we haven't spoken for quite a few years, and then we just got reconnected again. And then I found out recently that she is actually starting a Torah club. She's also a Gentile believer like myself, but loves the Jewish people very much, and she's starting a Torah club in Sacramento, California. So all the way from California, let's welcome Margie Zaccario. Zaccario? am I pronouncing this right?
You're fine.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Margie.
Thank you.
First of all, how is everything going in California? Because we know that in this last year, California has been sort of like the strictest in terms of the COVID rules. Right. And is everything open back up now?
Yes. It opened on June 15th. Mm. And everyone has been very happy about it.
Right.
The Delta variant is threatening to shut us down again because our numbers are going up, unfortunately. Mm. But we just pray for God's protection, and we are assured of his protection.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've just been feeling for this last season, last few weeks, that, you know, the enemy is never going to stop doing what he wants to do. But the difference, the thing that marks this new season, is that the church is waking up. We're not going to be tolerating these things anymore. That we're going to say, you know what, we're not going to be afraid that the church of Yeshua, the ecclesia of Yeshua, the Messiah, is rising up, and we're not going to be stopped, and that the agenda of the Lord will be accomplished, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
So it's exciting. It's a new season for the church. It's a new season also for you, because like I mentioned briefly, that you're actually starting a Torah club in California. Do you want to just tell us about that?
Yes. I was praying this year about what God would have for me next, and I felt genuinely impressed to contact an organization called First Fruits of Zion. It is a messianic Jewish ministry based in Israel and in Missouri, in the United States. They are providing materials to begin a corporate study in my home called Torah Club. And what we do is we examine the Torah portion for each week, and we have various emphasis. This year, we will be emphasizing Jesus, my rabbi, in terms of the Torah portions.
I love
and, that. And so we are beginning the study August 19th, and one can register if you're one is interested and can come to my house in Sacramento, California, by going to torahclub.ffoz.org.
Yeah, so FFOZ stands for First Fruits of Zion. So
yes.
torahclub.ffoz.org. FFOZ, or as we say, FFOZ here in the UK, dot org, right? .org.
Yes. And there is a tab that they can click on called Find a Club.
Mm.
And that will take you to the map.
Right.
And then you can go to Sacramento. They'll have a spot in Sacramento that you can click on, or you can type in, the zip code is 95826 for Sacramento. Mm.
Wow. That's so amazing. Do you know, so many Gentile believers are actually, you know, getting into these Torah portions because, you know, it's an hour, I believe, that the Lord is awakening the heart of the nations towards the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah. And so many, I get feedbacks on these episodes, and they say, well, just the way that the Lord is connecting my heart to the Jewish people and the Jewish roots of their faith, just through these episodes, these portions, is amazing. But some people listening, I believe that, you know, you're listening and you to these episodes, but you want to get deeper. You want to be able to discuss these portions actually with people, and you're looking for a club. And Margie, I mean, I can personally vouch for Margie because she is a deep well of knowledge, but also she's deep in prayer also. And she has a great heart for just a heart of love for God, for the God of Israel, for the Jewish people. So I want to encourage you, even if you want to just tune in on, if you're a bit far from California, you can, is there like a Zoom thing that if people live far away, they can tune into?
They are trying to decide whether or not to offer it at the moment.
Okay.
There are meetings.
Uh-huh.
However, if one cannot meet in Sacramento, there are many Torah clubs throughout America and internationally as well. So
that's amazing.
I'm certain that you can probably find one close to where you live.
Right. So they'll be able to find that anyway, where they are. So anyway, yeah. So let's get to the beginning, because you are like myself, you are a Gentile believer, and you became a Christian from a very young age. And how did you get connected to Israel? How did you get connected to the Jewish people? Just tell the whole story. Where did everything begin?
Yes. During my college years, I needed to support myself in order to pay for college. And so I, at the very last minute, the Lord provided me with a job as a nanny in a conservative Jewish home.
Mm-hmm.
And later, I was also introduced to a secular Jewish home and lived there for a while, taking care of a patient. Uh-huh. And I experienced the 1967 war that Israel was given Jerusalem.
Wow.
During that 1967 war. And I listened to it with a Jewish family. And it just sparked in me a passion for Israel and for the Jewish people. And then in 2001,
let me just ask, at this point, up until this point, did you have sort of like a biblical or theological understanding of Israel at this point, or was that the first time that the Lord had your attention on it?
Fortunately, my mom was also a lover of Israel, and she taught me about the significance of Israel in terms of the biblical calendar and in terms of the last days.
Right.
So I was
very
grateful.
So you were set up for this moment. So you grew up knowing the importance of Israel, that God loves Israel. But at this point, when Israel was going through war, and then miraculously Jerusalem was returned to Jewish sovereignty, that's something that's so significant that this is the first time you personally experienced God's heart for Israel expressed openly to the world, right?
Yes. So in 2001, I was able to make a trip to Israel with my mom, and it was life-changing for me. And so we visited the places. We saw the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon and Syria from the Golan Heights. And of course, the Western Wall. I prayed at the Western Wall and thought, if I didn't do anything else in my life, that was what I was created to do, was to pray there.
Yeah.
So upon my return, I was seeking for publications that would enlighten me regarding how Messianic Jews felt about Israel and about the last days. And I encountered First Fruits of Zion, and the rest is what it resulted in what I'm doing now, which is going to offer a study of scripture and the Torah portions in light of who Jesus is.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you and I both go through these Torah portions. How do you find these portions? What, I mean, as a Gentile believer, gleaning into Israel's story from the very beginning, right? How does that impact you?
It makes the whole scripture one unit for me. It just makes the Torah relevant for me. Instead of setting it aside, saying, oh, it's no longer relevant because Jesus fulfilled it, therefore there is no Torah. It's such an erroneous teaching to think that whole five books of the Bible are irrelevant for Christians. It's so relevant because it sets the context for how we believe today. And it also, there are 10 commandments that are relevant for us. How can we set aside the rest of the commandments and say that, oh, yes, but the commandments, the 10 commandments are an exception? No. It's one scripture, also inspired by the Lord, you know, for all of us today.
Yes, yes. I love that. It's Israel's story. The whole story is Israel's story. I mean, yes, it's the story of the whole of humanity, but God chose Israel. We were talking about this before we started recording, that God chose Israel to show the world how he relates, how he wants to relate to us, right? The way that God chose Israel, while she seems unqualified, is how God chooses us when we're grafted in, when we're unqualified, and how God relates to Israel when Israel is unfaithful, is how God relates to us when we're unfaithful. And the kind of intimacy that we see, the kind of relationship that we see in the Bible that God pursues with Israel, is the kind of intimacy that he wants with us. And of course, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, right, brings everything deeper to the heart level. So it's not our story. I mean, it is, but it's a Jewish story. We're grafted in to a Jewish Messiah, to Israel's story. So Israel's story is our story. Israel's destiny is our destiny, because the nations will be blessed through Israel, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way God designed it.
Yeah, and you also told me about them back in 2015. You wrote a little book on the end times, and I feel like it's so relevant now, because a few years ago when we first met, most people are probably not thinking about the end times, but now suddenly so much of these things that are happening, so much of these signs are happening, and then people are all of a sudden asking the question, what does the Bible say about the end times? And you said you wrote a book about it.
For my children.
Right. And it's connected to Israel, because everything is about, because understanding Israel helps us understand the whole storyline, which helps us understand the end times and where we are now. Right. So would you like to talk about that?
Thank you. Yeah. I wrote it originally for my grandchildren, so I haven't published it.
Right.
But it is pretty extensive, and it's called My Thoughts on the End of Days. And if anyone would like to have me share that with them, you can contact me through my email or through probably my email. It's mfzachariu@sbcglobal.net.
Okay, we're going to put that in the episode description so that people can see that and contact you.
Okay. I'd be very happy to share my thoughts on the end of days, which includes scripture. I did not include anything that could not be substantiated in scripture. So I do believe that we are approaching the harvest of souls before the coming of our Messiah, because and I feel like we are being set up in terms of the seals, the plagues, the famines, the high cost of food. We've already had war, and there are wars and unrest all through the world. So you see that the sea is being fomented, and out of the sea is due to come the beast or the Antichrist, you know, which, and it talks about the Antichrist having a mortal wound.
Yeah.
But it also talks about being resurrected and made alive again. And so I'm really have my eye on Turkey. I do. And on the Middle East, of course, because you see all of the unrest around Israel, and yet how God has miraculously protected Israel in spite of it.
Right.
That's However, right. I think they are due for hard times.
Yeah. I believe so. You know, things that everything that can be shaken is shaken. Now, back in, I don't know if I'll share this or not, but back in 2012, the Lord gave me a 7-year preparation period that would end around 2019, which I think I share this in the past, so I won't repeat every detail, but the Lord gave me a 7-year timeline. And then he also independently gave my friend another timeline of 6 years and a little bit a few months after he gave me my timeline. So both timelines actually ended exactly on the same day, on February the 12th, when Paul Kane passed away. So, and I believe that, you know, there's a whole word about the Joshua generation taking the promised land, and Paul Kane as a Moses figure for this new generation, this stadium Christianity, this harvest of souls, unprecedented moves of God. As a Moses figure, he actually died on the 7th of Adar, which is the day Moses died.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So the Lord spoke to me that you have 7 years to prepare for a time when everything that can be shaken is shaken. And I believe it's happening now when, you know, when the Lord moves all of heaven, all these idols are being stirred up, right? Because the Lord is moving. We're seeing all the chaos, but actually behind all these chaos is the Lord is shifting nations. And that I believe in a year's time, I mean, who would have thought that 2 years ago that we would be where we are today? So within a short, less than 2 years, the whole scope of all the nations have changed. And I believe in a couple of years, everything's going to change again. So the Lord is shifting everything, but he's preparing a people. And, you know, we're going to read about it in this portion, how the Lord is dealing with idolatry. He says, you know, burn all these idols and Asherahs, you know, to the ground. And the Lord, I believe, he is releasing a fire on his remnant that's going to look to him for an answer. I mean, he is the desire of the nations, right? He's the one that we're searching for, that our hearts are yearning for. And I believe at this hour, his name, Yeshua, is going to be lifted high for all the nations to see. And then there's going to be a fire that purges our hearts from every other distraction. I do believe that. So I'm very hopeful. But in the midst of the shaking, the Lord's kingdom is advancing.
Yeah.
And his people is going to thrive.
Absolutely. Yes. He's taking off the dross.
Yes.
You know, and putting our focus on him. We cling to him because that's what will get us through.
Yeah. Yeah. So we live in interesting times, and it's exciting, sobering, and interesting at the same time. So let's get into the portion this week. The portion is Re'eh, or C, from Deuteronomy 11:26 to 16:17. It talks quite a bit. It's a bit of recap, isn't it, from everything. Of course, the whole of the book of Deuteronomy is a recap, but especially this chapter, it recaps some of the major themes, you know, about destroying the pagan shrines and about the places of worship that God's going to establish, and then warnings against idolatry and the kosher eating, the foods, and then all these feasts such as Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, right? So it's actually quite a lot in these five chapters. So what are your thoughts on this portion, Margie?
Well, first of all, I was struck by the idea that it begins with "see, behold." You know, what are we beholding? Israel is getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses is trying to give them the supreme value, and also to mold their hearts and minds to be ready for the promised land, right. to have a sense of mission when they go to
right.
destroy idolatry.
Mm.
It's part of their mission. And what struck out to me most about the Torah Club portion was Deuteronomy 13:4. And yeah. this more or less summarized his message to Israel, which is, you shall follow the Lord your God, fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him.
Mm.
So,
wow.
That's
amazing.
The way they'll get through.
Yeah. And I believe this is prophetic to this generation. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're alive, you're part of this Joshua generation. And Moses, here, he's speaking to a Joshua generation, right?
Yes,
it's a Joshua generation ready to take the promised land who was called to be strong and be courageous, who, you know, in the previous generation, they believed in the bad report. They didn't realize that the promised land had giants, just like, you know, when COVID came, we didn't realize there are giants, that we thought revival was going to look so glorious, there's not going to be any challenges. But COVID came, and then the time of Joshua generation is here, and then we realized, oh, there are giants. So we became afraid. But now Moses is speaking to this generation, saying, I believe it's so powerful. What you're saying about seeing is, what are we seeing? I believe the Lord is saying to our generation, what are you seeing? Because if you're looking at him and fear him, there's going to be blessing. But if we're looking at all the wrong things and then following them, because there's a lot of things that wrong things that we can follow right now, all these narratives, sure. and we'll get into all that. The curses, the consequences, right? So I believe it's really, really powerful. And mm-hmm. it talks a lot about worship. It's how, what we behold, we end up worshiping, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm.
What we behold is what we end up becoming, you
yes.
know, in terms of worship.
Mm.
And I felt one of the things that impressed me was how Moses contrasted the worship of idols, which was mm. controlled by the people. They set up the pillars and the asherim
right.
and the images up in high right. places so that people could worship at mm. their will.
Yeah.
Whereas God said, no, I will choose the place and the way you worship me.
Mm.
And we surrender to his way and his place of worship, which is in our heart, of course, now,
yes.
because we are temples. But
yes.
in the Old Testament, during Ray, he was going to mm. select a place of his choosing, not mm. Israel's choosing or anyone else's, but his choosing.
Yes. Wow. That's so powerful. And mm-hmm. this is so relevant to even today, because there are, you know, like you said, there's a contrast between the way the nations, Gentile nations, worship their idols and the way God wants his people to worship him, right? So even at this time, the political realm and the economic realm and everything is shifting towards this structure, because the world is setting up their structure to worship their gods. But at the same time, I believe the Lord is saying to the church, I'm going to establish my dwelling place, my places of worship, houses of prayer. It's going to pop up in the nations, every nation, tribe, and tongue, right? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is yeah. exciting.
Yeah.
And he's calling people to his worship altar. I thought mm-hmm. this is amazing. This is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So
often God has been criticized for how harsh he treated the nations
mm.
and how harsh he treated those who were unfaithful to him within mm. Israel.
Mm.
But that's part of what I thought was true about a theocratic government, was how he would so often explain the reasons
mm.
behind his decision regarding say establishing the death penalty in the Old Testament
right
now
right.
for
right.
Idolatry. And that was, he wanted a pure and holy nation
mm.
because he wanted to lift that nation up as a model for how God wanted to relate with the whole world.
Right.
But he wanted to use Israel as an example. And if Israel was not a holy nation, and became like the pagan nations around it, then there would be no model.
Right.
And we would be lost without an example of how to follow and establish our own relationship with the Lord. No?
Yes. Mm. And he called Israel to be a light to these Gentile nations, and he's calling his ecclesia, the Commonwealth of Israel at this time, Jews and Gentiles, to show the whole world and how to, his light, really, right? So that's so powerful. So let's actually get into it chapter by chapter then. We have about 5 chapters. We're not going to get through them all, but we have an extended conversation after this episode where we can get to all these chapters and all the points. So for those that want to listen to the whole conversation, you can go to patreon.com/Torah Conversations and become a patron to listen to them. But yes, let's start with chapter 11, the end of chapter 11. Verse 26 says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments, the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you today, and the curse if you do not listen." I thought this is pretty clear, right? It's like a choice. You have a choice with a consequence for each choice, right? If you choose rightly, you get blessings. If you choose wrongly, and you get curses, right? So, and then he just commands Israel to be careful to do all the statutes and judgments which he's setting before them. So what are your thoughts on this little passage?
On that passage?
Yeah.
I was also impressed by how stark the choice was, and how he set up the monument of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Now, Mount Gerizim, facing east, was on the south, on the right-hand side, and Mount Ebal was on the north. And I read from a rabbinic source that Mount Gerizim was a fertile mountain with lots of lush foliage, and Mount Ebal was a barren mountain. And I thought that was interesting. And in the middle was the village of Shechem, where the bones of Joseph were buried. And I thought, yes, that epitomizes who Israel was at the beginning when Abram was promised. And he was promised also in Shechem that land would be his and would belong to the Hebrew people.
Yeah, and that is so, the contrast is stark here, because there are two different locations, two different mountains. Like, he's saying to Israel, you got to worship over here, not over there, because you're going to be enticed by these other things, the ways, even the environment, they're going to defile you. And also, of course, it's a place that the Lord chooses to establish his dwelling place. Yeah, it's powerful. And then we move on to chapter 12, which talks about, of course, it's kind of like a continuation of chapter 11. It talks about the pagan shrines and the different ways and the places of worship. What are your thoughts on this chapter?
They set up their own pillars and their own Asherim poles, whereas God said no, he would place his own name in the place of his choosing.
Yeah.
And incidentally, when he mentioned that, he said that their worship was to be accompanied with rejoicing. And I thought, that's so wonderful.
Right.
There was no strict, you know, frowning God, but someone who rejoiced when they rejoiced.
Yes. Yeah. And I love this verse. The next verse, because that verse that you're referring to is verse 7. But verse 8 says, it goes on to say, "You shall not do at all what we are doing here today," which indicates that people at that time when Moses spoke to them, they were still not keeping the law. They were strong enough and courageous enough, and God has called them to worship him the right way when they enter the promised land. But right now, at this point, they're doing everything that's says, you shall not do at all what we're doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes, I mean, this is kind of like what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. Like so many people are doing that. Like what we kind of, in a time of chaos, we just, everybody has an opinion of what's right and what's wrong. We're just doing what's right in our own eyes. And it says, for you have not yet come to the resting place and the inheritance, which Adonai your God has given you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security. I love that. It's like when the Lord gives us security, it's rest. It's a place of rest. The place of obedience is actually a place of rest because his presence rests among us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Resting place. And inheritance God is giving us.
Yeah. So this is the first half of chapter 12. We have over three more chapters, but we are out of time for now. But if you want to listen to the whole conversation, you know, we have so much more to talk about. We're going to be talking about warnings against idolatry, what happens if Israelites worshipped idols, and why there are such harsh penalties. Right. And then what are some of the pagan practices that are forbidden, and what can we learn from that? And then about clean and unclean foods, and then tithes, and then sabbatical years, and then all the appointed times, which Moses kind of repeats here. I love these topics, the appointed times where the Lord comes to encounter his people. We want to learn about them, right? So it's going to be powerful. So if you want to listen to the full conversation, I want to encourage you to go on to patreon.com/Torah Conversations. That's patreon.com/Torah Conversations, and become a monthly supporter. And that way you're going to be able to listen to the full conversations and cross over to the promised land. So yes, well, once again, if people in the area wants to join your Torah club, they can go on to torahclub.foz.org.
Yes.
Yes.
And click on find a club, and you'll be presented with a map, and you can select whichever club is closest to you.
And then, of course, if you want to read Margie's book on the end times, you can also contact her by email, which we're going to leave in the description. So just click on the description box for this episode. You're going to find Margie's email. And once again, thank you, Margie, for coming on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. If you enjoyed this episode, guys, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com, and connect with us on Instagram at TorahConversations, and become a monthly supporter, a patron on patreon.com/Torah Conversations. Have a great weekend, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.